Joshua and Caleb. And of course, Joshua is the most prominent of these two and the most famous. He was, after all, the successor to Moses, and he was the general that led the people into the promised land. Caleb was there also at that critical point in time, but he is not mentioned all that often. And in the text we read, we find most of what is written about him in the Bible. There is, of course, the story of Joshua and Caleb being part of the 12 that Moses had selected to explore the promised land. We read that story, as we heard also this morning, in Numbers 13 and 14, and again in Deuteronomy 1. And then we find Caleb back here at our text. Now, what is the point of this story about Caleb? It jumps at you, of course, that by then Caleb was an old man. He was 85. And for an 85-year-old man, which is a remarkable age, he was also remarkably active. But that's not the point. If that was the point, maybe this was the wrong audience. And you should hold the sermon in a care home. But Caleb was indeed 85, but that is not what the text really wants us to focus on. Now, in order to understand that, we have to go back to that story in Numbers 13 and 14. Because what happened is that they, after spying in the land, they wanted to go back. The Israelites wanted to go back to where they came from, which was the desert, and then beyond the desert, Egypt, the house of bondage. And we read there that the Lord was so angry, was so annoyed, and was so hurt by that distrust that he wanted to destroy them. And we find Moses there already as the example, as the type of our Lord Jesus, mediating between them and God. When Moses reminds the Lord that he should think about his own name, because the people are there not for themselves, but for the glory of God. And if God, having led his people out of Egypt, would then destroy them at the border of the promised land, wouldn't the people say that this Lord, this God, wasn't able to bring his people into this land? And that's why he destroyed them. And after Moses' plea, the Lord relented. And Israel is spared as a corporate entity, but not the people that participated in this revolt and the sin. And as we know, they went back into the desert for 40 years, 1 year for every day they enjoyed looking around in the land. And all those who were of an adult age, they die in the desert. With two exceptions, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb both urge the people to go on and to trust in the Lord. And in response, Joshua was already nominated as Moses' successor. Caleb gets a promise. He was promised by Moses Hebron, the town where the Anakim lived. Now, the Anakim were people of quite significant size. Well, imagine his situation. Here he was, 40 years old. He was turned back with his people into the desert for another 40 years. And at the end of that time, there was this promise, the promise of a city inhabited by giants. That, I think, is the situation we need to consider when we reflect upon the point of our text. And I would like to summarize the message of our text for you this evening as follows. Trust the promise. Be at peace. Trust the promise and be at peace. And we note three things. First of all, the promise was not trusted by the Israelites. how the promise was trusted then and now by Caleb. And we in the third place note that for him it was the promised land forever. First then, trust the promise and be at peace. But we see how this promise was not trusted by the Israelites, and that after all they had seen, as we heard this morning, first the miracles in Egypt, then the exciting Exodus, then the drowning of the pursuing army of the Egyptians, then the journey through the desert with all the miracles. There was also the preaching of the gospel, the Old Testament gospel, by Moses on the occasion of the covenant at Sinai, which wondrous and impressive event they all saw and witnessed, the Lord descending on the mountain to make a covenant with his people. I will be your God and you will be my people. And then they participated in the building of the tabernacle and in the services in the tabernacle thereafter. And yet, after all that, their conclusion was, it's a good land, but we can't conquer it. Or maybe more general, it's a nice idea, but can't be done. They went and explored the land, from the desert of Zin to Rehob, we are told. The desert of Zin is well into what today is called the Negev, in the far south. And Rehob is probably where now that war has been fought, in the south of the Lebanon. So they went through that land unharmed from north to south. And when they came back, they showed the fruit. And the cluster of grapes they had picked up was so large that you had to carry it between two people on a pole. It was a land flowing of milk and honey. But they say, the people are powerful and the cities are large. And later in the story, they even start exaggerating it. We were as grasshoppers in their eyes, and the walls reached into heaven. Because they did not trust, they started to convince themselves that it couldn't be done. And that, I think, is something that is worthwhile reflecting on. Because maybe we, once in a while, are tempted to say the same. It's a nice idea, but can't be done. It would be good, but we don't have the manpower. Or yes, it is really required, but we don't have the money. That is the sin that the Israelites at the time fell into. There was no trusting of the Lord, even after all they had received and seen, and there was no thankfulness to him. And that is why we see them go back. And we see them go back grumbling and stumbling. And these two, of course, go together. Because if you grumble, you are more likely to stumble. If you are not walking with your Lord, but grumbling, then of course you will stumble over all kinds of obstacles on your way. That is the warning in this story of Caleb to us also today, that we are not too quick to say that something is a nice idea, but that it can't be done. Because we need to trust in the Lord, even if the walls are high and the people are huge. In the second place, we see in our story that the promise was trusted then and now. It was more than 45 years ago. And at that time, Caleb had told the Israelites, "We can certainly do it." He had gone and spied the land, and he had found it exactly as the Lord has promised. It was a land flowing of milk and honey. And that to him and to Joshua was confirmation of the fact that the Lord's promise could be trusted, because the land was exactly as it had been promised. And he derived from that the certainty that since the Lord had also promised that they could enter that country, that they would indeed be able to enter that country. There was no reason to distrust, and there was no reason to rebel, because the Lord was with them. The people feared the Lord in their heart, and the Israelites knew it, because that is what had happened with some of the surrounding people that they passed on their way to the border. What they in effect said is, God, you did promise it, yes, but we don't see it. And that not trusting is rebelling. Caleb had told them at the time, 45 years ago, we can certainly do it. And he, now 45 years later, 85 years old, is not in a better position to trust that promise than he was the first time around. In fact, he is by now very old. But yet he trusts. Many around him have fallen away, and the conquest, although in progress, is not yet completed. But in very forceful language, Caleb invokes the promise of Moses made on behalf of the Lord to him all those years ago. But we should also note that he says quite clearly, although he tells them that he is still active and vigorous, that he relies on the promise of the Lord. And he repeats it several times. Joshua, as was promised to me, promised by the Lord, give me this land. With his help, I will then conquer it. Give me that hill country with those Anakites. That was his attitude to the problem that faced him. But his confidence was not there because he had switched off his mind. Because we also note that there is the question of who can take Debir. Now, Hebron was probably the larger town of the two, and Debir was sort of an adjacent village. We don't know what the relative strength of the people were in those villages, but Caleb was able to conquer Hebron himself with the help of the Lord, and that was one down, but there was one to go. And we see then that Caleb makes a realistic assessment. He is not going for Debir, but he is not giving Debir up either. He calls for somebody younger to be involved. He calls for, in this case, his nephew. So we see that Caleb was trusting the Lord completely, but not mindlessly. And that again is for us a useful lesson to be learned based on what we read in the book of Joshua. In the last place, we should note that this is the promised land forever. Caleb's attempts were crowned with success. In the first place, in chapter 14, we read that Joshua blesses Caleb in response to his request. In other words, he confirms to him, yes, that was the Lord's promise and it will be fulfilled to you. And he allocated that particular piece of land to him. And then we read in chapter 15 that he was successful first in taking Hebron and then with his nephew in taking Debir. And says our text, this land belonged to him and he had rest, he had peace. This land was indeed an inheritance for Caleb, part of the promised land that was his, part of the nation of Israel that was his, part of that nation from which the Messiah would come. And that, I think, is also worth noting, because it is also the promised land for his children forever. So the Lord is telling in here, Caleb, yes, not only do you have this piece of land now, but your children will inherit it to that day that I will send the great descendant of the people of Israel, the Messiah. And that, of course, is for us in the New Testament time also relevant to note. It is not just a story about a piece of land in the Middle East, but it is a promise to go into that eternal rest that the Lord has promised and achieved for us in the New Testament by suffering for our sins and telling us that if we follow Him in this earthly life, that we then also may follow Him into the eternal rest. So having then briefly considered the story of Caleb and how that encourages us to trust the promise and promises us that we will then be at peace, what then do we take away from this in practice? Well, briefly and in closing, I think two things. First, take stock, take heart, take action. Caleb did take stock. In the first place, on the positive side, he noticed that he was still here, he had still his strength, that's why the Lord had kept him. He also noted that he needed the help of the Lord in the fulfillment of that promise, and he also noted that with Debir, he needed to involve somebody younger. But Caleb did trust the promise. He did not only take stock, he also took heart. And on that basis he went forward. Because that is the promise that the Lord had given to Joshua. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give to you. And that is also the promise that is still there for us in the New Testament, where we read, I will never leave you and never forsake you. And then take action. That's what Caleb did, and that is what we should do. And there is, notwithstanding limited resources, much to do. We should find the most effective way to witness. We should never let up reading and reflecting on the word of our Lord. We should never stop to repent of our sins, to pray to Him, and to trust Him. We should do it now, as long as we live. And in the second place, after taking stock and taking heart and taking action, we can be sure that in the end there will also be for us the promised land, like there was for Caleb. That is what we wrote in that letter from Peter in chapter 3, which concludes, what kind of people ought you to be? And he answers, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new haven and a new earth. The home, a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Amen.